So we moved away from Temecula a number of years ago, and I was heartbroken to leave FBC. And we attended a few different churches once we got up to Santa Clarita. And we thank God for the church that we're in now, Oak Hill Bible Church, but it is small. And so we had our annual Christmas party just Friday night. And because we're so small, we had it kind of family style, where everybody brings an appetizer or a dessert, and we have the, you know, the infamous gift exchange, where everybody brings a wrapped gift, and then you draw a number to pick which gift is yours. So we've been there enough years now that I've learned not to open a gift that is wrapped, because it's risky, and I'd rather be safe than sorry. So I always sit around and wait for my number, and this year I had already picked out, long before my number was called, what I was going to steal from someone else. And I was going to steal the box of homemade caramels from Sergio, who had, for some reason, shown up wearing a Santa suit. So when my number was called, it went off without a hitch. But my husband, Dave, he's nicer than I am, and he doesn't like stealing things from other people. So he always chooses a gift that's still wrapped. And so this year, when his number was called, this is what he got. Now, most of you don't know my husband, but he's 6'5". And I think it's pretty ironic that he got the elf suit at the Christmas party. And as soon as he unwrapped it, the chant started coming out, "Put it on, put it on." And Dave's not really silly, but he was a good sport, and he put it on. And he looked like Buddy, the elf. And then he had to pose for a photo. Our pastor took a photo, which he'll probably post on Facebook, with Dave in his elf suit. And I just have to tell you that gathering with Christians around Christmas time, whether it's silly elf suits or if it's a serious Advent gathering on a Sunday, or being here with you this morning, is so special. To be celebrating in whatever way we do it, the birth of our Lord, with other people who know him and love him, is just amazing. So I'm so happy to be here with you this morning. All right. So we're going to continue this year's theme of the purposeful mom by talking about how to have a purposeful Christmas, how to celebrate Christmas with a focus on Jesus. Everything we do at Christmas or any time of the year, we do for a purpose. It's the why behind what we're doing. We're either motivated by a desire to please God, or to please others, or to please ourselves. And let's keep that in mind as we ponder how we celebrate Christmas. What is our purpose for how we celebrate? And during this busy season, we're doing so many things, so we need to be mindful of why we do what we do. But two disclaimers before we jump in. First, I'm going to be sharing a lot of different ideas with you this morning that I think are really exciting and really great. But don't feel like I'm dumping a whole lot of new stuff on you that you got to do to keep your focus on Christ. That's not what I'm up here to do at all. But if you're ready to maybe think about new ways to bring Christ into your Christmas, I hope there might be something for you this morning. And the second thing is, I've also brought a lot of stuff to show you this morning. And I don't want you to feel like, oh my goodness, not only do I have to do these things and I have to buy these things to keep my focus on Christ. That's not it at all. You can have a Christ-centered Christmas that doesn't cost anything at all. But I think there are some really special things that are available to us now to use with our families, and I just wanted to share them with you this morning. So when we're all, I'll show some of them to you while we're going through this morning, and definitely feel free at the end to come on up and take a look at anything that you think might be helpful for your family. All right, so let's get started. I'm going to share a poem with you that kind of reminds us of just how busy this season is. It's called Christmas. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Time for baking, time for crafts, time for parties, friends, and laughs. Time for reading Christmas books, time for hanging wreaths on hooks. Time to decorate the tree and then the house for all to see. Time for Christmas stockings hung. Time for Christmas carols sung. Time for wandering the halls at all the local shopping malls. Time to shop at every store. Time to wrap the gifts galore. Time for paper, ribbon, bows. Time for watching Christmas shows. Time for taking family trips. And time for treats to pass our lips. Time to rush from here to there. So busy that we're unaware. As Jesus whispers in our ear, hey, spend some time with me this year. Because we're celebrating the birth of Jesus our Lord, Christmas really is the most wonderful time of the year, but it certainly can be the busiest too. It's hard to believe that it's already December 12th. We're right about halfway through the season of Advent, those 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. All right, so you know what happens halfway through the term, right? Well, term, you're probably thinking babies. I was thinking school. Midterms. And I apologize. We have 4 kids in college, and we work with the college students at our church, so we hear a lot about midterms. So I have prepared some midterm examination questions for you today. And occasionally, through the talk, I'll stop and give you a minute to think about and examine how your Christmas celebration is going so far. But don't worry, you don't have to turn them in and you won't be graded. So let me ask you something. This is not one of your midterms. How important is it to you to have a Christmas that's focused on Christ? And it's really important to think about that, because if we don't decide to keep a focus on Christ at Christmas, we can easily get caught up in what I feel is like a riptide of all of those fun and creative and exciting activities that go on at Christmas without really thinking about why we're doing what we're doing and where Jesus fits. As Lewis Carroll, the author of Alice in Wonderland, so wisely states, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. But if we purpose in our hearts to focus on Christ throughout the Christmas season, it's important to remember the purpose of Christmas, the reason that Jesus came to earth. He came to seek and save the lost. We're celebrating the coming of the Messiah, the God who took on flesh, born as a baby, bearing the weight of the punishment of our sin. Our Redeemer has come. How could anything else be more worth celebrating than that? So clearly we want to keep our focus on Christ all throughout the year, worshiping Him and serving Him. But ironically, at Christmas, we can easily lose sight and crowd Him out due to holiday busyness. Now, when my kids were young, they used to play this little game at Christmas where one of them would take the baby Jesus out of our manger scene and hide him somewhere in the Christmas tree, tucked behind the Christmas ornaments. And then the other kids would come in and they would hunt to find him in there, and whoever found him first would get to hide him next. I thought it was a cute little game, but it makes me think of how we celebrate Christmas also. That, you know, we know Jesus is in there somewhere, but he can get crowded out with all the other stuff we're doing at Christmas. So sometimes it's hard for me to find Jesus in my Christmas. And I wonder if you looked into my heart and into my home and into my Christmas celebrations, would it be hard for you to see Jesus there too? I don't know if anyone else struggles like that, trying to keep that focus on Christ at Christmas. It can be such a paradox where we have Christ and consumerism all wrapped up into one. And if we look around at how the world celebrates Christmas, this is what we see. We see busyness, indulgence, selfishness, stress, and excess. We say we're celebrating the humble birth of the Savior of the world, the greatest gift of all time, and we do it by overscheduling, overshopping, overspending, and then overeating. It's really a season marked by excess in every way. No more room in our calendars, no more room in our closets for the new stuff that's coming in. And if we're not careful, there won't be any room for Jesus in our family celebrations, just like there wasn't room for him in the inn. So what do we do about it? Well, I believe that God's word does give us an example of how to focus on Jesus at Christmas. It's in Matthew 2, verses 10 through 12, which is at the top of your handout. We're going to read about the wise men who did that just over 2,000 years ago. It says, when they, the wise men, saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. So these men made a big deal about Jesus' birth. They had been watching and waiting and planning and preparing. They were totally focused on the Messiah. And there are three events in the wise men's account that I want to draw from this morning. First, they fell down and worshiped him. Second, they opened their treasures and offered him gifts. And finally, they departed to their own country by another way. So first, going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. They were focused, totally focused on Christ, submitting to his lordship. And my guess is, at that moment, bowed down before Jesus, they weren't thinking about a single other thing in the world than that little boy and why he had come. They gave him their undistracted attention, completely acknowledging him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as Christ followers, we want to do that every day, and we certainly don't want to crowd out Jesus with busyness at Christmas. So how do we direct our attention to Christ during this season? First, we need to start with our heart, because a Christ-centered Christmas begins in the heart. 1 Peter 3:15 says, to in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. And that's what the wise men did. And that's what we want to do too. And let's consider the heart attitude of Mary that we got to listen to and see portrayed this morning. Jesus' mother, when after hearing the angel's announcement of the significance of Jesus' arrival, she treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. We want to be pondering in our hearts, too, the significance of the amazing birth of our Savior and treasuring up what that truly means. And I love the worship song based on Mary's song of praise from Luke 1. I don't know if you sing it at FBC, but we sing it at our church when it says, he who is mighty has done a great thing, taken on flesh and conquered death's sting, shattered the darkness and lifted our shame. Holy is his name. Now my soul magnifies the Lord. I rejoice in the God who saves. I will trust his unfailing love. I will sing his praises all my days. And during the busy Christmas season, that's what we want to do. We want to give our souls time to magnify the Lord and rejoice in the one who saves, like Mary did. But I'm also reminded of another Mary in Scripture. You know, Mary, Martha's sister. And I'm sure you know the story, but let me read it to you from Luke 10. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha, you know what she was doing. She was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Now, was Martha busy doing a bad thing? No, she was preparing a meal to serve to the Lord. But where do we find Mary? She was sitting at Jesus' feet. And what did Jesus say about that? That she had chosen the good portion. She had chosen what was best. So what Martha was doing wasn't wrong. But her heart attitude was, she didn't have a joyful heart to serve. She was distracted. She was anxious and she was troubled. And I think that with all of the activity associated with the Christmas season, it's easy for us to get distracted and anxious and troubled, just like Martha. Well, we want to choose what's best. We want to make sure we're still spending quiet time with the Lord first, before we get busy with shopping or baking or crafting. You want to make sure you're still gathering at church to worship the Lord together, to draw your hearts and minds toward the Lord at Christmas. And just being here this morning at Moms by Grace is something that God can use to refresh your heart, to focus on Him this morning. Now, if you're like me, maybe you could use a little help with this at this time of year, to keep your personal time with Christ a priority. Or if you want something to help you focus on the Advent season during this time, I brought a few resources. To share. This is something I've been reading through this year for the first time. It's called Devotions for Christmas. And it's just a little scripture and a reading and a prayer for every day leading up to Christmas and actually the rest of December. And it just kind of gets my heart and my mind focused in just a short amount of time. And it's been helpful for me. There are others that I brought up here. One by Ann Voskamp, The Greatest Gift, that kind of takes moms through the lineage of Jesus with really heartfelt readings for every day. And you might have something else that works perfectly for you, but I just thought it might be helpful. And one other one, I haven't been doing the coloring, but this is actually a coloring devotional that goes through Advent, again, with scripture and a reading, and then different coloring. So I know there are a lot of ladies that enjoy coloring these days. So, you know, if you're having a hard time spending that time with the Lord, there might be something that just reminds you, oh yeah, I can do that today, and that can get your heart back to the Lord. All right, so now it is time for your first midterm exam. Are you ready? We're going to focus on your heart. Think back through the past couple of weeks. Have you been spending time with the Lord every day? And if not, what is it that's getting in the way? And what's your heart attitude been like? More of a merry heart, pondering and treasuring and sitting at Jesus' feet, or more with a Martha heart that's busy doing so many things that you're easily distracted or troubled? Just think about that for a minute. All right, so let's carry that merry heart, not like the Merry Christmas merry heart, but that heart like Mary with us as we consider ways to have that wonder of Jesus' birth permeate our homes and our family life at Christmas. Not just for our kids' sake, for our own sake, but for our kids' sake too, because as moms, we want to draw their hearts to the Lord too. And here's where you put that practice of Deuteronomy 6 into your lives, where as you go about your Christmas celebrations, as you see the things in your home and out and about, you're teaching your kids what that means, why we do that, why it's here, what it signifies. And it can be a testimony to other people that see what you're doing as well. So the most important thing is to focus on what Christmas truly means and make sure your kids understand what it is that they're celebrating. You want to make sure you're telling them that it's Jesus' birthday. You want to tell them, you want to read it to them from the Bible, you want storybooks that tell the true story of Christmas. I have a few just to show. Here's one that's for very young children, Christmas in the Manger, that will tell them what it is we're celebrating, so there's no confusion there. Or this is my favorite, the Jesus Storybook Bible. To read it straight from, I mean, it's not, it's stories, but it's God's word stories from that as well. And this one's for later. You can celebrate Advent, the whole season leading up to Christmas Day, by creating that anticipation of something special that's coming, our Savior, His birthday. But it doesn't have to be an elaborate thing. It can be very simple. You can set aside time every day, or it can be once a week, and if you miss a day, it's okay. I think this is a perfect way to do Advent for young children starting in December and just reading through the Old Testament stories until you get to Christmas and Christ's birth, because they're all going to point to Jesus in every story in here. So that's a recommendation. Very simple. And if you have a book like this or other books, you know your kids, it's okay if you read it like all week, right? You're going to be tired of it long before they are. But just setting aside that little time to let them know something special is coming. Something special is coming. And so we focus on it during the day. If you want something a little more structured with some hands-on activities, I have this notebook up here, Truth in the Tinsel. That's an Advent program for young children that takes them through the meaning of Christmas and the symbols of Christmas and the things surrounding Christ's birth, with a little lesson and then like a hands-on craft every day. So that one's kind of fun if you like to do, you know, hands-on things with your kids. You don't need any of these things to do this, but I just love them and wanted you to see. Another thing that I came across this year that, I don't know, maybe you guys have seen before. I know you know Elf on the Shelf because you can't not know Elf on the Shelf. But there's something... based on that whole concept, but instead of an elf, you have a shepherd. And instead of sneaking around making mischief in your house every night, he's on a hunt to find the baby Jesus. But same kind of idea, where he turns up in a different place every morning and he has little Advent cards. So this is one I've listed on your handout. Dayspring also makes one similar idea. So you can look at that one too, but I've always thought the elf was so cute, but something troubled me about him too. But this way you can use that same anticipation and excitement every day and have it always be pointing back to Christ and that he came and how amazing that is. I think it's important for kids to have rubber duckies in their bathtub that portray the real meaning of Christmas, or however else you can have something that they can hold on to, that they can interact with, that reminds them of the true story of Christmas. I've loved the Fisher-Price one. I brought it this morning. That's easily available. It's on the table here. You can also make your own. I found even a craft kit at Michael's that makes a foam one the kids could help with, and then they could play with, and, you know, for a few dollars if it fell apart, okay, you do another one next year, but so that they can, it's just going to make it so much part of their thinking and their hearts when it's something that they can help. I've seen beautiful ones that are for display, and those are awesome too, but have one that your kids are fine that they can play with as well. You have that beautiful Christmas music like we had this morning playing in the background. The songs that really draw your thoughts back to the Lord and the amazingness of this season. And any other decorations in your house that just remind you over and over and over again, yes, it's about the Lord. I can't forget. Things on your tree or the wreath on your door. And I love this platter that I brought over there that says Jesus is the gift, and it has John 3:16. I have a whole lot of Christmas platters that I love and I use all the time that don't say anything at all. But if I can, why wouldn't I put something out on that? It's just one more reminder. So just be thinking and looking for things that can just trigger your thoughts all the time, draw your thoughts and your minds back to the Lord in any way you can. And make it a birthday party for Jesus. It's his birthday. Do you have a cake? It can be a coffee. We still do that. My kids are, you know, bigger than I am. Well, the girls aren't. The boys are. It's a birthday. Let's celebrate it. And I've had friends that would have a birthday party as an outreach in their neighborhood to bring the other kids in, because, you know, if you don't know the Lord, you don't know what Christmas is about. You're going to miss that completely. And somewhere over there, I have a little book that's written, that's a Happy Birthday Jesus book that just portrays the whole thing as we're celebrating Jesus' birthday. Let's not forget that. So, I don't know where it is, but it's really cute. Okay, it's down on the bottom. I won't go get it because I'll trip on the way up. One thing I would also encourage you to do is to make sure you teach your kids what all the symbols of Christmas mean, the traditions and the symbols. You know, you have a star on your tree. Well, that's like the star that God put in the sky to lead the wise men to Jesus. And look at that angel at the top. That's like the angel that announced the good news to the shepherds that the Lord had been born. So some of them are very easy because they come straight out of the true Christmas story. But you can use so many symbols of Christmas to point back to Christ. And I have some books this morning that do just that. This is a board book for young kids on J is for Jesus that tells the significance of the candy cane being the shepherd's staff, or the J for Jesus and the red stripes that are by his stripes we're healed, and the white being the purity. Even stockings, where they come from and how they point back to the Lord. A wreath, which is unending, like God's never-ending love for us. And the colors of Christmas and Christmas tree, they all can be things that draw our attention back to the Lord, and we can teach our kids, see all the Christmas lights. Jesus is the light of the world, and he came to bring light to our darkness. So you just want to make sure they get it all. And I do have a couple books, like The Adventure of Christmas Here is where I've learned some of those things. It just goes through those symbols so that you can be teaching your kids so everything points back to Christ. And truly, even Santa Claus can point us back to the Lord. The character we know today is based on Nicholas, a real Christian man. He was a bishop in the 4th century. Out of his love for Jesus, he took a vow of poverty and committed to giving away all of his earthly money to those in need. So after learning of a family that had come on hard times, he secretly tossed a bag of coins through their window during the night so that the oldest daughter would have money for a dowry and would be able to get married. And as the story goes, the bag of coins landed in her stocking, which was hanging over the fire to dry at night. And that's where we get the tradition of hanging our stockings on the mantle. So St. Nicholas, from centuries past, we now know as Santa Claus. And he has become a mainstay of Christmas celebrations throughout the world. And he was an important part of my Christmas celebrations growing up. I was raised in a family who did not know Jesus, and I was taught to believe in Santa as a child. It wasn't until I came to know the Lord in college that I truly understood what Christmas was about. And so when Dave and I got married and had kids of our own, we decided we just wouldn't include Santa in our celebrations. We just thought it would be confusing and distracting for our kids. So we didn't necessarily avoid him completely, but we didn't make a big deal about him either. My kids are grown now, and as I look back, I don't think, oh, but they really missed out. And I don't think they really regret celebrating that way either. Could have asked them, but I'm pretty sure they're okay. But I know that even among Christian families, there are a lot of different opinions as to what to do with Santa at Christmas. And as you consider if or how to incorporate Santa into your Christmas, I just want to share with you a few thoughts that I have that concern me about the way the world celebrates Santa. It seems to me that when children are encouraged to believe that Santa knows when they've been sleeping and knows when they're awake and knows if they've been bad or good, that Santa knows things that really only God can know, because he is omniscient, and only he is omniscient. And when kids are taught to believe that Santa can deliver gifts to every child in the entire world in one night, they're believing that Santa is also omnipresent, which is another quality that belongs only to God. And I struggle with the idea of using the Santa is watching threat that I hear sometimes when I'm out and about to motivate kids to behave well so that they'll get what they want. Because Jesus didn't come because we earned it, because we were good enough. He came because we could never be good enough. So I think there can be mixed messages trying to reconcile Jesus and Santa together. And you may not want to avoid Santa altogether. You don't have to. But I want to encourage you not to emphasize him either. You know, treat him like he's a superhero or a Disney character and have fun with him like they do. But you can also teach your kids about who the real Saint Nicholas was and why. It's fun to see him portrayed because he was a man who loved God and gave generously because of what God had done for him. I do have a book that I enjoy that kind of helps out with that. It's called Santa's Favorite Story. And in it, Santa reminds the forest animals that, wait, Christmas isn't about me. It's about Jesus. And Santa himself tells the story of Jesus' birth. So I think there are ways to not diminish who God is by elevating Santa, but be able to incorporate them and enjoy it. So those are just some of my thoughts. All right. You ready for your next midterm? Okay, focusing on your home and what Christmas looks like in your home. Do your Christmas traditions and decorations and celebrations, do they draw attention to the Lord? Or do some of them draw attention away? Just give that a little minute of thought. Okay, so let's move on to our next section. After the wise men bowed down and worshiped Jesus, what did they do next? In our text, it says, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. So not only did they direct their attention to Christ, they gave gifts to Jesus in honor of his birth. They gave him their treasures. And they gave him gifts that recognized who he is as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Messiah, who came to take away the sins of the world. God so loved the world that he gave us his Son. And the wise men then gave gifts to the Son. Giving is inherent in Christmas. But of course, if you look, it doesn't say, opening their treasures, they offered gifts to each other. Their gifts are given to Christ in celebration of his birth. But it is a joy to give gifts to those who we love, just as God loved us and gave us his Son. And we'll talk a little bit about gift giving to each other a little bit later. But for now, I want to consider how we can do as the wise men did. How can we offer up our time, our talents, and our treasures to Jesus this Christmas? Author and blogger Ann Voskamp says this, "The birthday child tells us what he wants. Give to the least of these, and you give to me." And she's taken that from Matthew 25, and I'm going to read that to you this morning. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick and in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me.'" So how can we do this? How can we give to Christ by giving to the hungry, the thirsty, the lonely, and the needy? We need to intentionally shift our focus from getting to giving. Gift giving at Christmas is certainly not unique to Christians. Obviously, non-Christians give gifts too. In Luke 6:33, Jesus points out that if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. The world gives because it expects something in return. As Christ followers, we are told to love our enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and our reward will be great, and we will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. So true Christian giving is to give, expecting nothing in return. And Jesus tells us to use our earthly wealth for heavenly gain, to put our material resources to use to expand God's kingdom. So with this in mind, you can look for opportunities that are close to home. Maybe with the people you already have in your lives, taking cookies around to the neighbors at Christmas to bless them in Jesus' name. Taking a meal to a family who would be blessed by that. Offering to run an errand for someone who can't get out of the house. But look for opportunities out in the wider community as well. Think about things like we this year with our community group prepared blessings bags to keep in our cars in case we drive by someone who's homeless and hungry. And we're prepared with a little gospel tract in there with some necessities and some food and treats for them. And kids can help put those together and be in the car when you're passing them out. Maybe it's putting some money in that kettle when you pass by the Salvation Army bell ringer. Maybe it's taking food to the pantry, the food pantry, that will feed hungry people in the name of Jesus. Or even visiting a senior home with treats at Christmas time. But there are also opportunities around the world for giving to Jesus in this way. Maybe you know a missionary family who's overseas full time that could use a little extra funds at Christmas to help them in what they do for the Lord. And I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with the Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes, but the only thing that throws me off is you have to have them done before Thanksgiving, but that's actually helpful too. To pack a shoebox of toys and goodies for kids around the world that gets delivered in the name of Jesus with the good news as well. But Samaritan's Purse, that's the organization that does the shoeboxes, also has what they call a giving catalog, as do Compassion International and other missions organizations, where you can meet the physical needs of people suffering around the world by buying baby chicks through donations, or buying fruit trees, or buying medical care for those that don't have the funds to do that. And all of these are delivered through these organizations with the good news of Jesus. So look for those kind of things too, those kind of opportunities. These are just a few examples, and I'm sure many of you are already doing these kinds of things and have great ideas also. And I know this is what we want to do, to give to the Lord all throughout the year, but it just seems to me that at Christmas these opportunities are so much more apparent and obvious. So let's take advantage of them when they're so easy to come across. And as far as our kids are concerned, let's get them in on it. If you're doing something to serve other people, have the kids participate. If it's donating money, help them decide, have them help you decide, where do we want to give this money? Pull out those giving catalogs. Which gift do we want to give? And something that we did last year, I just brought a little jar. We had a giving jar last year. Now our kids are older and some of them had jobs, so the money was easier to come by. But kids could earn by doing chores and collect the money, and you can pray in December about where God wants you to give that money at Christmas. It might be a family that you know. It might be to one of these organizations. But have them participate. And, you know, I'm a procrastinator. And sometimes it's okay. Sometimes it's not. But last Christmas, we did a giving jar. And our kids were generous, and we filled it up. And Christmas came and went, and we had no idea what we were going to do with it. And it sat on our mantle, and it was until it was time not to be on our mantle anymore. And my husband put it in his desk, and we kind of forgot about it. And then I got a text a few months later from a friend of mine that I've been to Haiti with, and the translator we worked with there needed money for rent. And she was texting me to see if we could help to pay June's rent for his family. He's a young man, that my friend is putting through medical school, and he supports his family. And I thought, wait a second. And we pulled out that jar, and it was almost exactly what June needed to pay for his rent. And that was God. That was not us. But I was so excited that there it was, and God had a purpose for it. It might not be rent. It might be food to feed a baby for a week. There's so many kinds of needs, and they can be, you know, smaller financial needs, but they can be used as mightily by God as a blessing and a testimony to someone. So just look for opportunities like that. I brought a couple other things. I'm just going to point them out from up here. One is called the Giving Manger. It's the thing in the box on the table. And it's to encourage families to do works of service in Jesus' name at Christmas time. It's a little manger with an amount of straw and a little baby Jesus. And you encourage your family, your kids, every time you serve someone for the sake of the Lord, you put a piece of straw in the manger, preparing the bed for Jesus on Christmas Day. It's super sweet. We did it when my kids were young, and we just pulled out that doll cradle that the kids had, and I don't know what we use for straw. So you don't need that, but it's just an example of ways to have a constant reminder. This is a season where if we're celebrating Jesus' birthday, let's give gifts to him, and we can do this way. I also brought a book that's near it called The Sparkle Box that actually comes with a little sparkle box in it that does the same thing, but in a different way. That box, or any box like the one I brought, can be your gift to Jesus. And any time someone in your family does some sort of service or a gift in Jesus' name at Christmas, you write it down and put it in that box, and that's the family's gift at Christmas. It's just another way to keep that focus drawn back to him. All right. I think we're ready for another midterm. So we're going to focus on our hands that give and serve. Think about this Christmas season. How are you doing with opportunities to give and serve to others? Those that aren't giving back and aren't serving you back. Those that you're giving to and serving purely for the love of the Lord. And are you finding ways to include your kids in those things as well? All right, before we finish up talking about giving, I told you we'd talk a little bit about giving to each other. Because we want to do that. That's super special to give and receive gifts with people we love at Christmas. Like I said before, God loved, and so he gave, and we love, and we give also. But if we're not careful, the thinking, planning, and shopping, and wrapping, and giving, and all of that can easily take over the focus of our Christmas. And so with that in mind, you need to think about, well, why are you giving the gifts that you're giving? What are you giving, and what's motivating you to do that? And you need to be careful to make sure you're paying attention to how much you're spending at Christmas time too, and not using Christmas as just kind of a pass to spend whatever you think is necessary, even if you can't afford it, because we need to be good stewards of the money that God has entrusted to us, even at Christmas, when there are so many things calling our names to buy and give. So we want to think about ways to just kind of rein it in a bit, to keep it under control. And the first thing that I would suggest is to think about possibly limiting the number of gifts that you give specifically to your kids. Because there's a lot of great stuff out there, but I'll tell you, your kids don't need very much of it. And I wish I had given my kids less over the years, because it just doesn't last, and it's just not worth, you know, making it the focus of your holiday when it's not that important. So my husband said when he and his 5 siblings were growing up, they got 2 presents each. 2? But that's probably enough. We decided years ago that our kids would get 3 from us. They get others from grandparents and things like that. But in memory of the wise men bringing 3 gifts to present to Jesus, I thought, if 3 gifts is enough for the Lord, it's enough for you. And so that's how we do it. Some of you have probably heard families that give 4 gifts and have 4 special categories. You were counting, you know what I'm talking about. Something to wear, something to read, something you want and something you need. And that's just a way to keep it under control. That always seemed like too much pressure for me, because what if I couldn't think of something for each category? Some people are smarter than I am in that regard. I actually have one friend, and they don't put any wrapped gifts under the tree for their kids. They fill their stockings, and that's all from them, because they have grandparents that are going to give them gifts, and it's going to be plenty. It's not going to be 100. It doesn't need to be 100. But I think, wow, that makes that gift from grandma and grandpa even more special, because they haven't already opened a bunch of gifts. So just think about, you know, how much you feel like your kids... I think I give sometimes because it makes me feel better, not because I think my kids need that. Like, oh, I feel like such a... Anyway, I don't want to confess anymore up here right now. You can also think about, instead of giving things that cost money and take up space, to give experiences with your kids. You know, instead of giving them a toy, oh, you're getting a special outing with Dad to the movies or something like that. It's still a gift, but it's giving relationship more than a thing. So think about those things. And I'm going to brag on my mom here just for a second, because she did that for our whole family in honor of this Christmas, but it was October. I have four siblings. Most of them are married, lots of grandkids, and she gave us all one gift. My brother and his wife and their kids live in Denmark, and my brother and his wife have been unemployed for a troubling amount of time. Don't know how they do it. And so they couldn't come to visit, and they hadn't been in quite a long time. And so my mom offered and flew them out so that we could see them and they could see us and we could do fun things with them. And her Christmas shopping is all done, and I can't imagine anything better that she could have given us. Now, that's bigger than I'll probably ever do experience-wise as a gift, but the time spent with those special people was just better than anything else. So you can think about, you know, just special little outings and excursions and experiences instead of something you have to shop for and wrap and things like that. Okay, one final thought on this is just to think about your Christmas morning and those gifts and what part do they play, or in your Christmas day. And if they're taking over that special day, you might think about, well, maybe there's a better time to open gifts than first thing on Christmas morning. I know some families that they open at Christmas Eve, which might seem like you're jumping the gun, but that Christmas morning is set apart for the Lord. Or maybe, nope, we don't open gifts till after lunch. Or, you know, just let your kids know what time. This is the Lord's time. And, okay, one more confession. We do it weird in our family. A number of years ago, I learned about the celebration of Epiphany, which takes place traditionally in other countries on January 6th, which recognizes when the wise men actually arrived to present their gifts to Jesus, which wasn't, you know, the day he was born. It was a bit later. And a lot of other countries have a big celebration there, and it's not so much here. But our kids, we don't give our kids their gifts until January 6th or somewhere around there. So that Christmas morning is so much calmer. But I will tell you, my youngest son used to complain that he had 12 fewer days to play with his gifts than all of his friends, because that was 12 days after Christmas. So that was not his favorite Christmas tradition. But we still do it, and I think it's special. It gives another chance for our family to be together, which now that the kids are older is special. But it just makes Christmas morning just more focused on the Lord. All right. I would call this your final midterm, but there's a final. So this is your last midterm. Think about gifts at Christmas and what part they play and how big of a part. Are you able to keep the gift aspect under control, or is it kind of taking over? How are you doing in that area? All right, we're going to move on to our final thought. Back in Matthew, we read that after the wise men offered their gifts to Jesus, they departed to their own country by another way. They changed their course. They didn't go back the same way that they had come. Over the years in our family, God has shown us ways to make changes in how we celebrate Christmas, basically to go another way so that we can focus more on Him. We've let go of some of the ways we've spent our time and energy and money in years past to free them up to focus more on the Lord. And it may look different from year to year, but we want to continue to seek ways to do that. I still struggle. This is hard. And I often fail. I think it's always going to take, you know, a conviction and a commitment to do this at Christmas. And recently I've really been realizing that for so many years when I was determined to do what I thought was honoring and focusing on the Lord, that I was doing it just like Martha. I was distracted and I was troubled and I was anxious and I did not do it with a heart filled with worship for the Lord. So God is still working on me. But I am thankful for His kindness and His mercy. And I do believe that He continues to move me and my family in the right direction. Now your Christmas, it's going to look different from mine. And maybe you love it just the way it is. That's wonderful. But maybe God is nudging you to make a change this year. To go a different way, like the wise men did. To focus more on Him this year. To endeavor to give Him what He wants for Christmas. Pray about it and talk to your husband about it. Decide what's right for your family. Mike Slaughter, in his book, Christmas is Not Your Birthday, has this to say. We forget that, kind of, don't we? But he says, sometimes we worship tradition more than we worship Jesus, preferring the comfort of the familiar to the challenge and risk of doing something new. Honoring Jesus this Christmas may require the creation of some new traditions that are more focused on what Jesus wants from us than on what we desire for ourselves. So maybe this Christmas is that Christmas for you and your family, a year to create some new traditions that are more focused on Jesus. It might be hard, and you might get some resistance, and you might be feeling it yourself, a little resistance to a change. But isn't a Christmas more focused on Christ worth it? Your children are young, and that's a blessing. Give your kids the gift of a Christmas obsessed with Christ when they're young, and it will be their truth all their lives. Can you think of a better Christmas present that you could give them? I do thank you for being just such a blessing of an audience this morning. Makes it easier for people like me who struggle with public speaking to begin to get through this. And I thank you for being good sports about your midterm exams today. I hope that they were helpful. But after Christmas this year, I hope you'll take the final. Think back to your whole Advent season, to what you did and how you celebrated. And really consider which of those things really drew your hearts and your minds and your thoughts to the Lord. And I just pray that during this season and all throughout the year, that God would draw you closer and closer to Him. Thank you so much. And again, feel free to come up and look at anything afterwards. And I pray for a blessed Christmas season for all of you.